Hi, friends. Welcome to the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is episode number 41. I'm here with the best pal of all, RJ. Hi, RJ.
Hey, Brad.
And I'm Brad, and we're episode number 41 is going to be about Coventry. And we're a little late, maybe like a week late, but yep. We're just going to chat a little bit about Coventry and what it meant. And RJ has a little clip that he recorded a couple months ago with the group that he went with 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You guys were at the beach recently and all together again, and so you decided to chat about Coventry. It's crazy it's been 10 years ago, but it's not crazy when you like go back and think about, you try to remember the details, and I'm just like, oh, dude, can't really remember much, you know?
Yeah, that actually comes through in the chat that we did. I was, you know, it's like, yep. I think this happened. So, but yeah, I mean, we thought it would be cool to like play our memories. I think it's interesting because Coventry is so, I mean, the music was so bad. And Brad, you and I like went back and forth on whether we should include music or not. And part of it is that there's no good sound quality versions out there.
Because, yeah, I was like, surprised that there's no live like soundboards released. Which, I mean, it makes sense for them
to not release soundboards. Everyone's been trying to forget about it for as long as possible.
Yeah, even them. Even the band.
Even the band.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Like, there's a bunch on YouTube, right? And so, basically, the only stuff I've listened to is on YouTube. Just throughout the years, like, looking up a clip or, you know, thinking about the Jaboo or something like that. Or The Waiting in the Velvet Sea. You know, those things that really, like, stick out in my mind. You can find them on YouTube, and now with Fish Tracks, you can find them there too, but it's also fun to watch, so.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. So we won't do music, but we will, Brad, do a conversation with some pals and some music after next weekend when we'll be going to Dick's, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty awesome.
But what we were thinking, and this might be a fun thing to do, is if we put a clip at the end of this, and if someone wants to reply to us on Twitter what that clip was, and they get the exact like date and song and all the details, then maybe we'll, if we see you and you're going to Zix, we can give a little like congratulatory gift along with a high five.
Yeah. Hey, I have an idea, Brad. Fun. That we on the spot. What? How about if we do it for the intro and outro jam? For the episode.
Yeah, like, yeah, so we'll put some music in. Yeah, that sounds great.
By the time people hear this, us talking, they will have already heard it, but then they'll get a chance to hear it at the end, too.
If it's only like 30 seconds or a minute, it's a lot harder to guess than like a five-minute clip from the, you know.
Yeah, man, well, people got to step up.
You're at Gin, right?
Yeah, I mean, people got to step up on their nerditude, you know?
Well, some people don't, but some people do.
All right, well, let's do it. So if you can guess the clip that you just heard at the beginning and that you will hear again at the end, you'll get high fives from me and Brad and a hug.
Dude, it's so sweet.
And some other stuff, too.
And some other stuff at Dick's, but you have to be going to Dick's.
Yep. And if so, not, you could tell your friend to tell us, you know. There's a lot of ways that you could win this contest that we just made up.
Yeah, that's a sweet contest.
So Brad, what's... Yeah. Given that you weren't part of the conversation that we will hear shortly, what's your... I mean, I actually was talking to Rachel, and I remember seeing you there before, maybe before the second show.
It was the second night.
We literally saw each other for like 4 minutes for the entire weekend, which is kind of weird. But that was just because there weren't really cell phones, and there wasn't service, and it was such a disaster. So
yeah.
Tell me what you remember.
I had a cell phone, but it was a cell phone, like when you called your parents with or whatever, you know?
Yep.
It wasn't like instant contact. We were put into the venue Friday night, like during sound check. It was pouring rain. We left like Thursday night from Toledo in Ohio and drove through the night and then got to like St. John or St. John's, I can't remember. At like 3 p.m. maybe, and it was already like, it was raining like cats and dogs, like it was fucking nuts. And we just sat there for a while, and we sat there and sat there, and then the sun set, and then we decided to party a little bit, and then we all fell asleep. And then at like whatever o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, I think it was, Saturday morning. I'm so confused. Yeah, Saturday morning, I think. We were dragged in to the field by a tractor, like a little like 12-year-old kid in like overalls and no shirt with like mud boots on. Put like a chain around the whatever underneath the van that we rented.
That's crazy,
and, like,
dude.
Pulled us across the mud field and like put us on like a little bit of like a raised section in this field where there were like maybe, I don't even know, maybe like 20 or 40 other cars. That they decided was like dry enough to put cars, and they put us up there and we were close and like it was our little group. And then there were some, they put some pallets down like to the main walkway from our little like perch, and that was our spot for the weekend. We were kind of isolated, and it was quite a hike to the field actually from where we were. And I think we were some of the last people to get in, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know. I just watched a video like last week on YouTube about like some dude who's like 8 minutes long about how he like played the clip from Bunny of Mike being like, listen, I'm sorry, sucks, but we got to turn you around.
Oh, really?
And then like, yeah, and then like the Vermont state trooper getting on, and like Sergeant McCauley, and he's like, hey, I'm from Vermont. And then, we like gone over all options, like you got to turn around. But they clearly didn't go over the option of like people just abandoning their car. Right? They just like didn't think people were going to do that.
Yep. And that's what happened.
Yeah. So what it came down to is that everybody was just like, all right, like we'll just pull over to the side of the road and walk in. I mean, how far did you guys walk?
7 miles.
7 miles. So yeah. This dude on like YouTube was like 20 miles or something, which is crazy.
Insane.
So
I mean, it was insane. The whole thing, no matter what, it was just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. So we were real lucky to get in.
Yeah, that's crazy.
With a car and like, and we had, you know, a home base or whatever. I can't imagine not, you know, your home base was like a tent. You know, you didn't really have everything you brought, right? You had to leave some stuff behind. So if you walked in, at least, is what I mean. But
it was
a crazy time. And then the music was what it was, right? And it's not, I mean, you guys kind of talk about it too. It's not completely like it left a bad mark on the brain.
Yep.
But if you go back and look at it, it's not all bad, man. You know, I had some great times with great friends, and like we hung out and did a lot of cool stuff and saw the beautiful, you know, northern Vermont in the area. And there were some jams that were worth it. I don't know if I'd do it over again, right? If you knew what was coming, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, man. It's just so weird. It's so weird to listen to and to try to enjoy. Mm-hmm. It was hard. Going back and listening to it, it was like actually difficult to enjoy. But there were like a few little gems.
Other than the composed parts, which were clearly horrible, like the jams, they could jam back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Reba jam was great. The Split Open and Melt jam was great. The AC/DC was great. The Jaboo jam was great. But
did you say Melt already?
Yeah.
That Melt was like after the oh man, I love that.
Yeah, so anyone who wants to listen back to Coventry who's listening to this and is sad that we don't have music on this episode, you should go to fishtracks.com or the Fish on Demand app and listen to those four songs. And mm-hmm. And if you want to, for like sadness purposes, you can listen to The Waiting in a Velvet Sea and Glide, and then the last song, Curtain With, and you can hear Trey tell the same story that he told the night before.
Oh yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
So it was two nights in a row, right? It wasn't like...
Yeah, it was two nights in a row.
Right, it wasn't the same story in the same twice in the same night. It was like he told it when did he tell it the first night, though?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Either.
Must have been made. I think it might have been before David Bowie.
Sounds right, because he composed it then too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And same time.
We'll get in trouble because I said David Bowie. So what's up now?
What's up now, Nola Sachs?
What's up now, guys? But he did tell the same story twice. And Rachel's, I think maybe we talked about this in our conversation, but Rachel's like the most annoying thing that ever happened was when he was like, when Trey went out and stood on the rocks during Harry Hood and was like, you guys can all go back to your campsite and talk about how different it sounds when we're like jamming on the rocks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole thing was just like a complete shit show, you know?
I think it's telling, you know, about the state that Trey was in, right? The bad place. And in like the Waiting in the Velvet Seat page, just like couldn't keep it together. Like he was full of emotion. And Trey on his, with his current state then just didn't have those emotions. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I think he was because drowning his emotions.
Yeah. Those, and specifically, and I'm not an expert, but specifically those drugs kind of like take those emotions out of you.
That's what I hear. But now we're back, you know, 10 years later, everyone's happy and healthy and having fun. Mm-hmm. So let's make this the last time we talk about Coventry.
That's fine.
What do you think?
I mean, we'll probably talk about it in 10 years.
That's true. As a 20-year and episode 762. I can see it now. It's going to be awesome. Well,
do people ever go back to Coventry?
Well, what, fish?
They haven't had other than the Festival 8, right? But
yeah,
has been the one during 3.0? Other festivals during 3.0?
Super Bowl and then Halloween Indio. I think that was it.
Jazz Fest, but it's not really theirs, yeah, right? I mean,
I don't think it counts in the same way.
No, it doesn't.
But there's like people really want them to play a festival.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like the whole Jazz Fest thing better than, right? Because I don't know, I'd rather see a variety nowadays. No.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I love Jazz Fest. Is fucking great, but I also like wouldn't mind like a fish festival. I mean, Dix is gonna be kind of like a festival, except
we're I was just gonna say like a 3-night run at Dix.
Yeah.
Is basically a festival, and basically now one-off shows are rare. People are like, oh, it's a one-off show, because there's like during summer there weren't many one-off shows. I mean, there were, you know, but back in the day, say, you know, 93 and 94, when they played 1,000 shows in a year, they were all one-off shows, right? Because they'd go from Dayton to Louisville to Nashville to, you know, whatever.
Yeah. The bigger tours,
those are all inaccurate statements, but you know what I'm getting at.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, you're right. Well, all that matters is that, like, we get to go see them next weekend, so.
It's very true.
It's pretty sweet.
Do you think that it'll rain next weekend?
No.
You think there'll be mud?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think Denver's amazing, and if anything, there'll be like one of those thunderstorms in Denver, but they're really beautiful.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, should we get into this chat and then just let people go back to their lives? We are happy to partner with Cash or Trade, and guess what? I just completed 2 transactions of selling tickets for Dix on Cash or Trade, like 5 minutes before we started talking.
Nice. You're trading though, right?
I traded one, and then I sold my Stan's tickets for that I had extra.
So you did cash and trade.
I did cash and trade, and you know what? It was easy, and everyone was cool, and it was, you know, it's a cool thing. Everyone should use it if they're trying to buy or sell or trade tickets.
I've only used it a handful of times, 5 or 6 times, but every time it's been really fun, and the dude's been really nice. It's all been males for some reason, but they've all been really nice, and it's positive.
Yep, sure is, man. So everyone should review us on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher Radio too, so you should review us on that.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, next week we're going to be on SiriusXM.
Oh, yeah.
Jam On.
Yeah. Good call. Forgot about that.
We picked some jams for Jam On, and we're just going to yam it out.
We are going to jam, dude.
We should note that they only let us pick 2 fish jams.
Yeah.
Because we tried to do 3.
It was pretty hard, actually, because of what they had access to and what the rules were, but...
Yep.
Brad, do you want to talk about like what our approach was to crafting our show?
Yeah, I think it was we wanted to play an old fish jam and then like an off song and then a 97 or 98 fish jam, 97 fall specifically. And then we wanted to play a 3.0 jam. Oh, and then obviously like the fourth. So we were given 5 slots.
Yeah.
First, we want to do the old fish jam, like early, and then an off song, and then a fall 97 jam, and then an off song, and then a 3.0 jam. But we were told that we could only do 2 fish jams. And so we took the 3.0 out because we assumed that people who were listening to Jam On probably were up to date with fish in 3.0. So we tried to pick one that we really liked and one that we thought was like an old time, you know, Hall of Fame type jam.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. That's what I think. I think it was fun. It was a very much shortened version of what we do here, but it was fun.
Yeah, the dudes were really nice, though.
Yeah.
Those guys were super easy to work with, and they got a good thing going on there.
Yeah, definitely. And if people who are listening want to do it, I think you just email them, like, search, you roll your own, Sirius XM Jam On. And yeah, it's awesome. So Brad, let's get into it, and let's see each other next weekend, and then we'll do another podcast after Dix.
Yes, can't wait.
Cool. All
right, see you all there.
Hope everyone enjoys the conversation, and let us know what you think about that jam that you heard at the beginning that you'll hear again at the end. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Approaching the 10-year anniversary of Coventry.
So before we start, can everyone just introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'll go first. This is Rachel, RJ's wife.
Hey, I'm Liz.
Hey, this is Mary.
Chad's over there, too. Say hi, Chad.
Hi, Chad.
So we want to have a quick conversation about Coventry. We were all there together. It was insane, troubling, harrowing, but also somewhat delightful experience. So let's start from the beginning about how difficult it was to get there. What do you guys remember about getting in or just getting there generally?
It's funny, we've been talking about this over the past couple of days, and it's, in some ways, there's a lot of things that I don't remember very well about it. Like, it was such a chaotic, insane situation. But I left New York City with a group of friends in an RV and then converged on the highway with my sister and her boyfriend, who were coming from South Carolina, towing a pop-up camper that they had, like, paid many tolls for to have a second axle or whatever to come through many tolls. And we converged on the highway, and then there was a whole thing about trying to chase down beer because we kept missing the deadline to buy beers in the various state lines that we crossed, and that was a tragedy of us trying to figure out how we were going to have beer on the way there.
In the refrigerator in your pop-up camper.
Right. And that didn't happen. I think we never, I can't even remember that detail, whether we actually got beer in the end.
My recollection is that you got beer and had to leave it at the pop-up camper.
I think that's right. I think that's what happened.
I also had the recollection that you spent the night somewhere so you could wake up first thing in the morning and buy the beer, which is, if you had driven straight through, you wouldn't have had to leave the camper.
I think what happened, though, is that we split off at that point, and some people stayed to buy the beer, and I don't think they ever got into the show at all. Oh. So we were all, anyway, and after all that craziness, we obviously ended up on 91, right? Or 89?
91.
In the crazy traffic jam, where we then, like, sat and slept off and on all night and, like, took turns at the driver's wheel and mostly, like, got out and hung out with friends. I, like, ran into old friends on the side of the highway. And we were, like, jumping from car to car and, you know, whatever, hanging out. It was, like, a big, giant party on the side of 91, except we were all listening to the radio and trying to figure out if we were going to be able to get into this epic show or not.
And which then, Fish, of course, did come on the radio.
Oh, all night long,
and tell people to go home.
Yes, but there was also, like, updates even before that, and everyone's, like, asleep-ish and partying and hanging out on the side of the interstate, like, listening to the radio and trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And at some point, I have no idea what time of day it was. I guess it was...
It was late at night.
Was it?
We were... You mean, like, when they came
when
on?
When they actually
when
announced
Mike
it,
Mike came
yeah.
on and canceled the show?
Yeah.
It was, like, not 11 o'clock.
At night.
At night.
And had I been I there think. Already a full day and an...
I think so.
Yeah. Yes. Because we had driven from New York and had the craziness with the beer and whatever, and then we spent the night on the interstate for sure, and then, like, hung out... Anyway... It was a long-ass time before
yes.
we decided that we were not getting into the concert.
Chad and I drove from Burlington. Your husband's on the floor.
Someone just fell
the
into the upside-down area of a kiddie pool. The kids are not in there.
Oh, man.
And they're sleeping.
Chad and I... thankfully, the kids were not in there. Chad and I went to Burlington and met up with Zach and drove...
From Canada.
Yeah, I think we were doing some kind of road trip in Canada. And we hopped in our couple of cars from Burlington and drove on back roads. And so we did eventually have to get on 91, but much later than everybody else did. So we avoided a lot of the traffic that way, but we still...
Much further north, you mean?
Yes.
Not later in the day, also earlier
yes,
in
yes, much
situation.
Later on 91, yeah.
yeah.
So we definitely did the, like, sit on the highway thing, but ours was, like, still, there was some back road we were on where we were stopped, just all cars parked, and it was basically, like, every hour or so, you would get in your car, and you would drive, like, for 1 minute, and then you would stop and park again.
Yeah.
And Zach had rigged up something.
A particular perk.
Yes. Zach had rigged up some kind of electric contraption plugged into his car lighter so that he could get enough electricity to make fresh margaritas in a blender that he was plugging into his car. So we had margaritas on the side of the road. If I remember correctly, he had to, like, rev the engine to make the blender actually go.
To be fair, and he never meant to make any money from selling margaritas. He just
wanted, he just wanted to hang out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was definitely not, one of his industries. Certainly.
No. So, but we ended up getting in before any of the music started, but it was definitely a shit show and just kind of, like, all of these announcements about how they were going to cancel the show and all our friends were in different places and we didn't know who we were going to be able to hang out with inside.
Yeah. Was there cell service?
That's the thing that I don't really remember. There had to have been, because otherwise how the hell did we find y'all? Because we found you late.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What year was it, did we say?
2004.
Yeah, we definitely had, we had cell phones. But there were service issues.
Yes, there were service issues. Yeah.
I remember walking over to a fence to make it work.
I remember being like, shit, are we going to be able to even find these people when we get inside? And so, then it turned out that y'all were in the strip of actual, like, concrete.
Yes.
Which would have normally been kind of shitty, but in this particular situation, since the entire place turned into a field of mud,
it was
actually
a very desirable strip of concrete.
Yes. Yeah.
Mary and I actually unpacked our entire car, and we were on, like 2 months of traveling, or 6 weeks, or some long travel trip, and we actually unpacked our entire car into our tent, set that up, and then slept in the back of the car.
Yes.
You guys were lucky. With tent placement.
Yes.
Like, that you didn't have to sleep on the ground. Rachel and I slept on the ground.
Yeah,
on the concrete.
I remember your shoes
not
coming off.
On the concrete.
The whole.
Yeah, I did not take my shoes off the entire time. And then I threw them immediately in a garbage can when I left.
right.
So
Let's talk about the mud.
Yeah.
Some people didn't have the luxury of shoes because they lost their shoes right away.
That's
right.
True.
In the mud.
Who?
But you had a really easy trip.
I said some people.
Oh.
No, I did not have an easy trip, but RJ picked me up at... where'd you meet me?
Well, Jason picked us up in Burlington.
Yeah, so our friend picked us up in Burlington. I guess building up to your trip, but the way that RJ and I got in was actually less stressful, I think, that way less stressful than yours. We drove the back roads from Burlington, and we never thought that we weren't ever going to make it. We just were listening to the radio and heard a couple times about how it was canceled or whatever, but we never gave up. And the road that we were on was, like, very packed, but never, like, impossibly so, where you had to, like, pull over and sleep. Actually, well, there was a little bit of an overnight thing happening. But ultimately, we parked on the side of the road at a farm and walked, I think, seven miles in. Starting in the next morning, after having gotten in the night before, arrived the night before being on the road, and then walked that 7 miles. And that was a, like, fun adventure, the 7 mile trek, where people were already, like, capitalizing on that general process and
shuttling people.
More selling beer. Like, there were people, like, on the road selling beer and
pushing
other
beer
things.
On skateboards, mushrooms.
No. I think, like, after
awesome.
Our...
They, like,
it's like a 7 mile lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were just supporting the local family.
Yeah.
So I left from... So on Thursday afternoon of that weekend, I lived in Tampa, and I was working on a campaign. And I went to the Tampa airport at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Thursday, I think. And there was, like, a hurricane that was supposed to come through Florida, and it hadn't come yet. And I walked up to, like, the ticket counter, I guess, when you still, like, went up there to, like, get a piece of paper to get on the plane. Mm-hmm. And they were like, sorry, the airport is closed. I was like, but it's sunny. Why is the airport closed? And they were like, no flights are leaving until, like, Sunday because this hurricane's coming. So we, like, preemptively shut down the airport. So I was living with three of my friends in a, like, apartment. So I get back and I'm like, my flight's canceled. I'm not, like, going, whatever. And this is, like, 6 o'clock at night on Thursday. And they were like, well, whatever, let's, like, drink some beers and hang out. So we, like, start hanging out. And, like, 2 hours later, they basically all chipped in and bought me a plane ticket from Atlanta to Manchester the next morning. Like, 12 hours from then. Your flight leaves in 12 hours. It's a 9-hour drive. You better leave right now.
Oh, my gosh.
So I drove overnight and then flew from Atlanta to Manchester. where I met up with my friend, and then we picked Rachel up. And then it was so... It must have been actually Wednesday. Whatever. It was 2 days later till we got in the fucking place.
Yeah.
And it was a shit show. And then there was mud.
Yeah. The mud was like something unlike everything you've ever seen in your entire life. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you've been to some muddy places, but... the first thing when we were walking into the show, we were... traipsing through mud like up above our knees. It was like this crazy thick heavy mud that it just didn't seem like it was okay. Like I felt like we were all just gonna get stuck in the mud, and that was how our lives were gonna end. That
we lost our, I mean, we all lost our, if you had shoes, you lost your shoes like immediately.
Yes, flip-flops, bowls, you know.
There was like single file lines of people going across like the main would-be hangout area trying to like walk on board.
Do you think in like thousands of years someone's going to go like excavate that place?
That's what always says, and be like, what the fuck happened here?
I definitely always think it's like some crazy,
I just felt like if one person freaked out because they were...
on the like bridge.
Like just,
mud.
It just freaked them out.
There could be like a people stampede started going, and
it could be like bad stampede because you couldn't move. If someone, if people were coming, you're not that they could move, but like you couldn't move at any form of pace whatsoever.
It was crazy.
I remember there being like some sort of actual mud pit like on the way from where we were camped. I guess maybe it's because it was all cement.
Yes.
And then it ended. And then between the cement and where the actual concert was like the worst mud pit. It
was like an obstacle course. Single file thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was definitely like an obstacle course. I mean, there were points in the journey that we were like, are we really going to go to this concert through this mud, or are we just going to go back and hang out?
I was definitely in the let's just go back and drink and listen to the show. Hear the show, but like maybe, you know, stay back a little bit. Maybe enter a little late.
It was quite an endeavor to get in to see the actual music that night.
So we all got in the first day. Everyone made it for the first night.
Yeah, I eventually had to park the car on the side of 91 and walk.
And walk.
Like 20 miles away, too, and get a ride.
Also, the fact that we were all able to convene is like an incredible miracle because...
Yeah.
We, like, even as the weekend unfolded, like, getting together again, I mean, like, we lost each other so many times after that. Like, I don't know how we all got to the same place.
It was my cell phone that helped us.
Chad never had a cell phone until 2012?
Correct.
Nice job.
Thank you.
So we get, somehow we all met up. And so the greatest thing to me about the weekend is that there were, like, a group of 15 of... us all who were like great friends, and it was awesome to hang out the whole time. But then we went to the first night of the show and we had some malfunctions physically and emotionally, and some people fell asleep without meaning to or standing up or whatever happened.
Chad looked over at Rachel at one point and he said
at Weiss,
and he said, because Weiss had already passed out and he was back and hanging out and everything was fine, and Chad looked at him and said, hey, remember that thing that happened to you? I think it's about to... And then he just was like a pile of Chad on the ground.
No, I hit a dude on the way down. I fell into a guy who caught me. And he at first looked at me really upset, but then realized that, like, I'm passed out. Like, I fell asleep on my feet. Had whatever the hell happened to me. And then I look at, he goes, man, are you okay? And he sets me back on my feet. I'm like, I'm totally fine. And he lets go of me, and then I just hit the dirt hard.
So that was probably like an effect.
Because we lost Ray early on. And so like we didn't know that the same thing had happened to her because we were in a different group.
Right, okay.
So like, wait,
were we?
Yes, absolutely.
For at least part of the show.
Because sitting, I remember I ended up finding you guys like 8 feet behind me to my right. And I remember sitting there for a full hour being like, if all I had was one sip of water, I'd be fine.
Yeah, it was one.
But instead, I feel horrible, and Mary has like two jugs of water, and I'm like, if only I knew where Mary was.
Yeah.
And then I turn around at the first set break, I'm like, oh, you're there. you have jugs of water, and then I was great.
Everyone passes out for one reason or another, and everyone's very dehydrated, and I was dehydrated too, but I wanted to go on a huge adventure because I was feeling adventurous. So I left everyone, like, Rachel was kind of passed out. Everyone's, like, laying on the ground. It was like a weird, like, post-war thing. But so I left,
and
I was like...
We'd all been on, like, large hikes.
I'm like, I'm going to go get water. And I just remember, like, thinking that I was on, like, some sort of epic jungle adventure. Because the one thing about the way it was set up is that there were no sections
There were no, like, signs. There was nothing. It was just a huge fucking field. It was like, we're on the generally left side of the field.
And then it turned out to not be a field. It turned out to be like a mud pit.
Yes.
Disaster.
The bathrooms were like a terrible nightmare. Worst. The whole thing was.
So because of whatever happened to me, I didn't have a great sense of direction. And I went to the water person and I'm like, I need some water. And he said, how much do you need? And I said, just give me an entire case. So I like bought a whole case of 24 bottles of water. And then I walked back to where I thought everyone was standing and I couldn't find anyone. This is the entire first set of the show. Entire first set. I'm walking around looking for people. Couldn't find you guys. I walked all the way back to the campsite. So I was like, maybe they just all went back because they were too, like, tired. And basically, by the time I found everyone...
Which was not a reasonable thing to think might have happened.
No.
But by the time I found everyone at set break, I had given out all the waters to other people who had asked, are you out just walking around giving away water?
Yeah, thank you.
And
oh my God, you're amazing.
I started saying yes because I like giving people water. So by the time I got back... Everyone was recovered, and I was so happy to see everyone. And, like, Chad or Mary, Rachel, someone was like, so where's the water? I was like, shit, I don't have any. So for 2 hours of effort and walking and, like, hiking through mud, I had no water.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I think that Allison had this giant camelback, and we were like, oh, my God. Allison has water, and then it was full of gin and tonics, and it was like, ugh, that's the last thing in the world I would ever want right now.
Gin and tonics.
So during the day in between the shows, I remember being like, I mean, it was really hot.
Yeah.
But also we had this, like, posse of, like, 10 cars, and all of us, and we just, like, sat there and hung out and drank beers all day. And it was really, really fun. I just remember that being, like, incredibly, that was probably the most fun part of the entire thing, was, like, hanging out during the day with... You know,
I think Mike rolled by us on a skateboard at one point.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. Huh. I have this memory of that.
That's cool.
Mike.
Yeah. We were definitely with, like, 20 of our closest, most fun friends.
Yeah.
So, like, all the various challenges...
Just made for good storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the music was... So, okay, so let's just talk about the music for a second. Because, basically, it was the last fish show ever.
Yeah.
And luckily,
so
that's not the case.
To think about.
Yeah. Because in 1 week...
We knew it wouldn't be the case, but...
I didn't.
Chad and I did.
I thought it was over. They fucked up most of their songs. And
You know. I went back on the way here, just because you had mentioned it, to try to listen, and was wondering whether I, like, just had a bad taste in my mouth, because the whole thing was a crazy experience, or if the music was really that bad, and I listened to the first, whatever, six songs of the first set, and was like, oh yeah, the music actually was that bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were some good
so
moments,
bad.
But... There was major misses, like, in those first few songs, just...
People who weren't there know about, like, how bad the glide was, for instance. That's probably the worst, because they played... I think that maybe
they
were playing in the wrong key.
Yes.
And also, Trey was trying to... I mean, it's a fairly, like, technical song, but instead of
messy.
It being, like, it was just, like, it didn't work.
I remember the music being better the second night, but I also might have... had something that helped me think everything was great.
And Mary reminded me that everything was great when I was having a down point. But the
pulled
way
RJ back off the cliff. It's okay.
Thank you. I still think about that often and really appreciate that.
Songs were like kind of long, right?
Yeah.
Like, but just sort of messy and
very
doing
messy.
Whatever they were doing and not actually being very interesting, even though they were long.
And we did a podcast like 3 weeks ago about like the 03, 04 years, which I've always kind of overlooked. And there are like, particularly 03 and then early 04, there were some really good like explorations. But I think by the time it got to Coventry, even what we listened to last night, the AC/DC bag, it was like 25 minutes and cool, like, but that era was just, it was too, like, well, for me, it was, there were too many, like, directions and not enough, like, cohesiveness. I don't know. It just all felt pretty abstract
and just messy all around.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing felt,
it was very messy.
Rough.
Yes, it was
all over the place.
And you know, the Waiting in the Velvet Sea is like,
I
probably
was just
the
bring that up.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna bring up that it, like, required, I mean, it's part of the, it's part of the whole package, is like talking about that song and like knowing what was going on with the band.
Yeah, that's true.
At that moment and how emotional that performance was, even if crappy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like incredibly emotional.
I actually hadn't thought about that, but it was incredibly emotional.
Yes.
Paige was crying.
Yeah.
I cried.
Yeah.
We were crying. RJ and I had our own separate thing going on.
Yeah. Which was.
It seemed like everyone was probably crying.
Yeah. It's so weird to even imagine sitting here now that that was like a moment when I thought the Fish was not going to be a band anymore.
Yeah.
And I did.
I did too.
I don't know. Chad was a real skeptic about the whole thing, so I think he convinced me. He was like, whatever. It's going to be our last concert. He's like, these guys are young. They're going to need more money and want to play more music. It's like...
Well, we know that, like, Trey went through a particularly hard time, given that he got arrested with millions of drugs on him two years after this, though.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how fucked up he was at Coventry, and then it was 2.5 years later that he got arrested, so, like...
That is crazy.
And we saw him in the interim in Trey Band in Richmond, Virginia. I remember,
he was in rough shape.
Halfway through the second set, I was like, this is, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And, we're very, as fans of this band, we are very attentive to the band and the music, right? So, once it starts going in a different direction, I think everyone knew by the beginning of 2003 that things were, kind of weird.
There's just a bad energy. The whole thing was a bad energy.
Yeah,
because it felt not nearly as nice as it had before.
Yeah, because when the band is setting the tone and there's all those kinds of drugs, Fish has always been a space where people are experimenting with things, but it became like the focus of things, you know?
And it also got weirder.
And it got darker. The drugs got a little darker.
Yeah,
you could get you could buy heroin on the lot.
Yeah.
By 2003. That's really fucked up. Maybe it was by the late 90s. I don't know. I don't really
probably
remember.
I mean, there was probably always a place for that, but it just seemed to be getting more and more obvious, and the kids were looking really strung out, and
it had been building for a while.
It was physically reflected in the way people's clothing changed too. We could talk about that for hours. So
what do you mean?
Put us down the rabbit hole there. Well, just like the Lock Kids went from being in flowy dresses and patchwork things to having this kind of skater vibe. They were girls and
flat brims.
Yes.
Flat brims.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of visors and baggy shirts and baggy skater jeans and I don't know. Not that I have anything against skaters, but it just seemed like the character of what was all about was changing, and it was physically
totally changing. It was particularly the energy was just kind of bad. But were there what were the best kind of moments of it? Or do you guys have positive memories of
for sure.
Yeah. What are some of those? What did you take from there that was positive either then or now?
I think what Rachel mentioned before about how we all found each other despite the epic journeys from many different places it all took to get us there, and the fact that we spent many moments of the show apart from each other, we set up a little home and went through the whole experience together, and it was important to be there. Fish had been a part of our lives and part of what brought some of us together as friends, and I think it was important to be there. I didn't want to miss it, even though, I never regretted being there, even once we were there, and it was kind of a disaster. It was important to be there, important to be with all of you guys. Yeah. And then the other thing that always stands out in my memory when I think about it is the day after the show ended, some people had to run to get on planes and do different things, and Chad and I were just on a road trip, so we were pretty flexible, and a bunch of us sat in... I think our car or Zach's car.
Yeah.
And we just said, we're not going anywhere. People who didn't have cars were liberated to go, and the rest of us with our cars just had to sit and wait for the traffic jam to clear out. All the people had to get out, get in their cars, move them off the highway before we could get our cars out of this show. So we just threw in the towel and sat in the car, and I think we watched a movie and just chilled and relaxed and recovered, and
we also drank beers.
Yeah.
We also found the local nitrous tank person.
Yeah, Mary was not saying that.
Mary
and I were working on being like, do you hear that?
Where's the whistle? The sweet whistle is calling me. Yeah.
I think it's worth noting that now we're here 10 years later and there's 4 couples here and 4 babies, and we are as thriving as Fish is now, I think.
Yeah.
And it's all it's inevitable to bring it back to where it is now, which is in the healthiest, happiest place it's been in so long. That I think it's pretty cool that I'm not saying it was as down for all of us as it was for them, but I think for Rachel and I personally it was. But there were ups and downs, and I feel like everyone, including the band and the fans right now, are like back at a high point, which is, to me, unexpected. Like, I wouldn't have thought that 10 years later we'd be sitting here, let alone all of us still sitting here together and with babies.
Talking about fish.
Looking forward to, like, summer tour starting mm-hmm. in 6 days or whatever. It's insane, you know?
Not that you're counting.
Not that
six
I'm counting.
6 days or whatever, yeah. You know, something like that.
But it's pretty cool. I don't know.
It's very cool.
I'll never forget, like, getting dropped off at that hotel in Manchester by Zach that night. Finally, like, late that night. Because I think you guys left finally in your car.
Yeah. Right? Okay, because we had our own car.
It was, like, the Monday instead of the Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I almost got fired from the campaign I worked on, which right. I didn't.
Yeah.
But we lost anyway. but it was totally worth it. 100%. Like, I never would have regretted anything about it.
Yeah.
And that was, like, you know, for me, you all have known each other for much longer. You'd been friends for probably like 7 years at that point, but I had just met all of you like the year before that. So for me, it was like it was an important weekend in our whole, all of our bonding
a collective
experience.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. And
so that's, I don't know. I guess that's the ending on a positive note, because I don't know if there were other positive notes.
Yeah, no, it was definitely all being together. That was the whole thing. And the, like, epic nature of it and, you know, just whatever, what Mary said.
We all came out of it better than we were before.
Well, even there were a couple rough days afterwards.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
I just think some people listen to this podcast who either started seeing them in 2009 or just didn't make the trip because they... were smarter than we were, or
no,
for
or
some
less
other reason.
Smarter than we were.
But
because
it was.
That's the whole thing. I would definitely for sure
would
do
it
all
again.
Over again.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy,
it
but it was
exactly
part of
the
experience.
Yeah.
And it was an important sort of part of the arc of the narrative for sure. And like Mary said, we had to be there.
Yeah.
And we'd do it all over again. It would be way harder to do with babies.
Oh my gosh.
And we could get,
not
and maybe,
do that with our babies.
If there's another Last Fish Show, let's not bring the babies.
Yes.
I agree. I will go. Yeah. Come on, Tom. No, I completely.
You know, this was like all about endings, and I remember so well when Fish started playing again, and RJ, I think you were at the first shows, but when I heard that music, I was on a subway in New York, and I was sitting on a crowded subway with my, like, iPod, because what year was it? We didn't have
2009.
Yeah, iPhones, yeah. And I was rocking out to those shows. And just, it was so great to have them back together, and so great to remember why they had fallen apart, because the music was so good, and it was like, oh, right, okay, this is what Fish is, and I can't wait to see them again.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll all be together at Dick's in a couple months.
Woo!
Yes. thanks everyone for joining. Rachel, this is Rachel's first appearance ever on the podcast. Thanks,
yay,
Rachel.
I'm
here with Liz and Mary and Chad. Thank you guys for talking.
Cheers.
Thank you.